Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. You're about to listen live from the Sundance Film Festival, where television series pilot Work in Progress gets unveiled in public tomorrow. Creators Abby McEnany and Tim Mason and co-star of SNL Julia Sweeney join me next in an internet radio exclusive. The night before that big game of big football games in Atlanta, pro felines will go for touchdowns and adoptions in Hallmark Channel's first ever Cat Bowl. Pre-game coverage next half hour with executive producer Kathy Satula. Also ahead, Screen Actors Guild TV Award recap, our new classic trivia question and prize, and lessons to be learned from Rent. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeart Radio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want, and get a free book, actually three free audiobooks, when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this half hour. Great to have you with us for our final January episode of the program All About Television. We got a fun one for you, including a special live segment direct from the Sundance Film Festival in our first half hour. 29 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, some calls from you. So give us that ring at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We've also got our chat room in business, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Our guest, live from the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, will join us after these news notes. Less than 3.5 million people saw Fox's presentation of the groundbreaking musical Rent last night, with more, 25% of those viewers tuned out during the presentation. Originally set to be live, Rent switched plans when Pivotal co-star Brennan Hunt broke his foot during dress rehearsal Saturday. Viewers ended up seeing most of that dress rehearsal done with a live audience last night. However, the final portion featuring original Rent cast members joining their Fox counterparts for a curtain call of Seasons of Love, the musical's feature song, was done live with Hunt taking part. The awards parade for the marvelous Mrs. Maisel continued last night at the Screen Actors Guild ceremony, simulcast live on TBS and TNT, live from Hollywood. Amazon's acclaimed series, swept the comedy TV categories for series, actress for Rachel Brosnahan and actor Tony Shalhoub. This Is Us won for Best Drama Cast, with Sandra Oh taking Best Drama Actress for the BBC America series Killing Eve, and Jason Bateman Best Actor for Netflix's Ozark. Miniseries honors went to Patricia Arquette for Escape at Dannemora on Showtime, and Darren Criss for American Crime Story's Gianni Versace episodes. Netflix picked up one more SNAG honor for Glow's Stunt Team. Now some quickies. Freeform, together with actor Lawrence Fishburne's Cinema Gypsy Venture, is developing a scripted series involving Black Panther Party leader Elaine Brown from the 1970s. Isabel Dick Hackett, daughter of famous speculative fiction writer Philip K. Dick, has a new program production agreement with Amazon. She is currently executive producer on The Man in the High Castle there, going into season 4. Also, we just learned in the last hour that USA Network will go forward with Dare Me, a high school cheerleading drama based on Megan Abbott's best-selling novel. And 4 months after launch as GMA Day, ABC's afternoon extension of its morning program now goes by Strahan and Sarah, as in co-host Michael Strahan and Sarah Haynes. And that is news notes for today. Increasingly, Sundance, Tribeca, and other major film festivals around the country are becoming as much known for showcasing television series pilots as they are for prospective feature films. And in fact, once again this year, Sundance, which is going on as we speak in Park City, Utah, is having its annual Indie Episodic Festival. One of those pilots being shown will be shown tomorrow afternoon, local time. It's called Work in Progress, and has some very interesting pedigrees behind it, including the co-creator of The Matrix and Netflix's popular Sense8, Lily Wachowski, and Circle of Confusion, the production company behind The Walking Dead on AMC. We are delighted that the folks who are making this venture possible are now joining us live from the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. First up, co-star and co-creator Abby McEnany. Hello, Abby.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. And joining both of us is co-creator and director Tim Mason. Tim, welcome in.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. And the third person of our trio, you know her from her wonderful work on Saturday Night Live. She is a co-star in this venture, Julia Sweeney. Julia, great to have you aboard.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
And again, we're delighted all of you can make the time from a very busy Sundance. And I will start with you. When you got the word from Sundance, guess what? Your pilot's going to be shown here. What was your notion about what was going to happen? And now that you're there, along with your fellow folks, what do you think of the action at Sundance?
First of all, when we found out, it was a very emotional time. I still can't believe it. I pinched myself a lot. I have a lot of bruises. And once we got there, we've been having so much fun. People are so generous and kind. There's so much creativity and openness here and excitement. And it's just been amazing. It's an unbelievable dream come true.
By the way, guest 256 has just joined our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. If you have a question or comment for our guest, ring it in or put it in the chat room. We do appreciate you being aboard. Tim, what had you be part of this project?
Say again, I'm sorry.
What had you be part of this project with Abby, co-creating it and also directing it?
It's been a wonderful experience, and Abby and I have known each other for 20 years, so I've always wanted to work with her and get to film something, and the fact that we got to do it based on her life, these experiences that she had in her life, it's just been an absolute creative highlight of my life, so she's wonderful.
Julie, I'm sure that when you go out for either film roles or TV series roles, that there's a criteria that you have about why you do projects that you do. What is that criteria, and how does that criteria lead you to doing this pilot, Work in Progress?
Well, I guess if I had a criteria, it would be a sort of humanistic and yet comedic worldview, and this Work in Progress just knocks it out of the park in both of those ways. It absolutely has a loving eye on its characters, and it's also hilariously funny. And to just add to it, it's very dark in subject matter in some ways. In other ways, it's really just a love story, but it's also complicated in wonderful ways. So it's just exactly what I love.
Mm-hmm. Abby, as Tim mentioned, this pilot is based a lot on your life and your times. When you were thinking about this, did you second-guess
yes.
yourself, should I do this for television? Should I open my life up this way, even though it's a character, not me?
It's funny because those stories really, well, they are based on me. And I did a storytelling show a couple of years ago in Chicago it was a very vulnerable thing. I'm actually a very private person. So when I did the storytelling show, and then after that, Tim had seen it and was like, hey, why don't we make this into a TV show? So then I was like, once I put it out there, I just think I got really loving and lovely a reaction to it. And I don't know. I just think that the fact that now the stories I told in that show were purely true life, and now that it's a TV show, there's some fictional life stuff, and that feels a little less vulnerable to me for some reason. It feels like I can still not be totally, exposed.
Since we have you and you're getting in this line of questioning, let's talk about the character you created and about the whole idea of what Work in Progress is about.
Wait, is that to me? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Yeah. So again, what is Work in Progress about,
and
how does your character play it? How much of you is in it?
Sure. Well, I would say the show is about a 45-year-old suicidal queer daddy who is giving herself 6 months to decide whether or not she's going to kill herself, and if her life isn't better, she'll do it. She's telling her therapist that her therapist died mid-session. So she's just like, well, that's not a good start. And then that day, the character Abby, who has turned herself off to love and doesn't really trust, meets a young man. Character name is Chris, played by the amazing Theo Germaine, who is a trans man, and they begin to date. And so it's just sort of like the vulnerability that I share with Chris and Abby, the character, and myself, again, in person, but I end up sharing with Chris my plan, which is on a first date, you generally wouldn't want to tell somebody you're suicidal. So I don't know. The show's about, like, we're trying to show humanity. We're trying to show different kinds of people than are regularly shown in media or television, and talk about things that people don't necessarily talk about all the time, like mental illness and different binaries and different sexualities and gender identities and stuff like that.
Now, Julia, this is, as you said, dark humor, or dark as dark goes, and make it even more darker. You're sort of the antagonist in our main character's fight.
Yes, a little
she's
bit.
She's the person that you want to get rid of. She's the person. You're the person that she wants to get rid of.
Well, she's been hurt by my work in the past. Oh, it's hilarious. Yes. And for me, it's a good opportunity because I have my own feelings of ambivalence and defensiveness and embarrassment about having played that character. I feel like everything about it, including pride in it, too. So it's a good chance for me to just talk about having played that character and what it meant to other people that I'm learning about too, you know, like, so to me, it's such a great opportunity for me to get to explore that as myself in the show and as myself as a person.
We are live from the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, the Cat Byron Bobby 12 Eyes with the folks behind Work in Progress. It is a pilot that will be shown there tomorrow afternoon. We've got co-creators Abby McAtee, and today too, we've got Julia Sweeney, the co-star. As we said, they're all with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abel with you live from New York. Live here at Broadway, you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Brought to you on Tomorrow Be Televised, we're going to kick off February with a look at the brand new BET series, American Soul. It's all about the creation of Soul Train and its very special creator, Don Cornelius. Devin Gregory, the creator and showrunner of American Soul, is our lead guest. Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, great way to kick off February, Black History Month, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tim, both you and Abby come from Chicago, and you both have improvisational comedy backgrounds. First of all, when you got the idea of directing this, what was your thoughts about doing the pilot, and how much did improvisation play?
Well, that's right. We both come from that improv background. So, and I used to be a performer primarily. So directing's kind of new to me. So I'm always open to improv on the set. And, like, if anybody's got some great lines, and actually in Julia and Abby's scene, we discovered a lot while we were on there. And at the same time, when we went back and we looked at the script after, because somebody asked, like, how much is improv? It's remarkable for Abby's a fantastic improviser. But really, I would say like 90% of what was on the page is what is on the screen. But the attitude, you know, like improvisers have kind of like an attitude, and they're open to ideas, and I always find more free to like experiment with their performance and stuff. That spirit of improv, that's been with us the entire time.
Tim, by the way, in directing this, how do you do dark, sardonic satire without turning the audience totally off?
The biggest key is to have fantastic actors who really play it real and act like real humans and who you believe from the minute you see them. Because I think dark comedy, if it's based in true human emotions, you, even though you're dealing with dark topics, you empathize and you feel for those characters. So it doesn't feel like the filmmaker is trying to shock you or really screw you, like, as a viewer over. I think if the acting is grounded and if it comes from real, genuine human reactions that you recognize in your own life, that's where you can find yourself laughing at situations like that, you know? It's the way Abby plays the scene where the therapist dies. It's she doesn't play it comedically. She plays it real, like you really would if that happened. And I think that's what makes people laugh at it.
Abby, you're coming in to you and Tim, I'm coming into this with a lot of momentum. Number one, you're going to Sundance, which has really developed in the last couple of years, a track record getting TV pilots off the ground. Animals, which had a 3-season run on HBO, New York Television Festival winner 5 years ago, and then 2 years ago, The Chances, which was a comedy developed by a deaf couple who we had on this program, by the way, 2 years ago, and now in its second season on Sundance Now. Plus, you now have one half of the Matrix creators behind you, plus you have the production company behind The Walking Dead behind you. First of all, how did Sundance get word about your project, and how did Lily Wachowski and Circle of Confusion get into this?
So we, Tim and I, submitted, we were just like, we were going to submit to Sundance, and I was like, we're never going to get in there. What do we do? But we did, and we just, I mean, it was just on a whim, and we were just, hey, let's just give it a try. And it was obviously the highest goal we wanted, and we got in. So I think I'm still can't believe we're here, but we're just so thrilled. So we sent it in, and they watched it, and luckily they chose it as one of the 12 indie episodics. Now, Lily is actually a friend of mine from Chicago. I've known her for about 3 years, And you know, we were talking, and I was telling her about this, and she was like, hey, can I see that first scene, the therapist scene we shot a couple of years ago? And then, funnily enough, Tim is represented by Circle of Confusion, as is Lily. And so it's a kind of a long story, but, like, Lily had sent it along to Lawrence, who's the head of a Circle, but I didn't know she had done that. And then Josh and Ashley, who represent Tim at Circle, watched it and they liked it, and they signed on as EPs, and it's just kind of this beautiful thing that happened out of, like, I can't believe it. But now I have a dear friend who signed on and has, you know, decided that she would come back into this, you know, entertainment sphere at this time, and we're just so lucky.
Julie, in addition to playing your role, how did you work with Abby and Tim to help shape the pilot, to really give it the kind of feel, veneer, if you will, that everybody wanted?
Is this to me? Oh.
Yes.
I really just showed up and said my mind. No, I'm kidding. I worked with them for months on the point of view and what they were trying to communicate. No, I really did just show up and do my lines, but I love their sensibility, and I love what the show's trying to do, and I, of course, just adore Abby, and Abby, I don't know how anyone on earth wouldn't relate to Abby. So I was just thrilled to be a character that could be in it. I'm just so tickled about it.
We are speaking with Abby McKinney, Ken Mason, Julia Sweeney. They're all live with us from the Sundance Film Festival going on in Park City, Utah. And tomorrow, their pilot, Work in Progress, is going to be presented as part of the Indie Episodics division of that festival. Well, with a sign from Park City, Utah, this half hour on tomorrow will be televised. And by the way, in addition to what they do at Sundance with the festival, they also have had their episodic TV lab for more than 3 years. It's been a wonderful stepping stone for a lot of people, particularly people of color, who want to get into the TV industry. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple0498, 728 is now in the room. Remember, if you'd like to catch up on episodes you missed, and we have had some fantastic episodes to kick off this year with producers from such shows as The Masked Singer, The $100,000 Pyramid of the Joker is Wild, Black Earth Rising, Hugo Blick, the writer-projector of that Netflix series that started this past Friday, Pure's creator Michael Arno, etc., Audrey Morrissey, The Voice, among others, Mark Wahlberg from Temptation Island on Fox, and now on USA Network. Well, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or you can pick up the podcast version on iTunes, Apple TV, and Springer's podcast app. And, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. Abby and Tim, where do things stand in terms of making this a series?
Where things are?
Well,
go on. Go, Abby. Sorry.
No, you go, Tim.
Nope, me either. I'll talk about it. They don't know yet. They are very excited about possibilities, and I, as an outsider, am saying this is going to sell, but it hasn't actually sold yet.
That's exactly right. The way I described it is we put all the pieces together in the puzzle right now, and now we're just going to see if anybody would like to buy the puzzle.
Well, if it does sell and you do go to series, where would you like it to run?
Oh, boy. We have a lot of dreams between us. I would hate to say it out loud, but I think there's several places that it could land that would actually, like, really respect the story, you know, and I think that's the main thing. Like, obviously we really hope to be able to make it and to land at a place that allows us to tell the story we want to make. So I don't want to name places, but go ahead.
There's so much great TV on right now, and the idea that any of these places that are making such unbelievably groundbreaking, well-rounded work, the idea that any of those places would even be interested in this little project that Abby and I started writing in a coffee shop 2 years ago is just blows our mind away. So, yeah.
For real, blows our mind away.
Tim, have you and Abby talked to some of the other pilot makers at Sundance? And also, are there any plans, no matter what happens, to maybe screen your pilot at other places, like Tribeca, like the New York Television Festival, or other TV festivals, like Series Fest in Denver, or other festivals around the country?
Well, you know, so the first question, the other pilot makers, you find out you get into Sundance like 3 weeks before they announce it, and you have to sit on that information and not tell anyone. And then the announcement came out, and some of our dearest friends have another indie episodic, and they're one of the other 12. So we were over the moon. So that we have another group of Chicago-based people who grew up through the Chicago comedy scene. They're actually based in L.A. now. So that they're out here too, and we've been able to, like, exchange notes with them about how to do all this stuff is just fantastic. And as far as the other festivals, I had a short film that went through the festival circuit, and that's one of the most pleasurable experiences I've ever had, is to go to all these different festivals. If everything was free and easy, I would definitely love to be at Tribeca and in Denver and all of the New York festival, TV festival. But it kind of depends on whether or not we sell this, that then it's not our decision anymore, and it's up to the powers that be. So that's kind of up in the air as far as will this screen again in a festival, or will it screen again on a TV screen in your house?
Which do you prefer?
Well, you know, I mean, one half dozen the other.
And anyway, was this pilot shot in Chicago, given your backgrounds?
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
it was.
Absolutely.
We shot
and
it.
Sorry, Abby.
No, go ahead. Yeah, it was definitely shot in Chicago, and we have if we are able to make more, our intent is to continue in Chicago. It's a very Chicago show in our minds.
You know? Yeah. Before we let everybody go, what do you think about the fact that this pilot was accepted by Sundance? And given the state of TV right now, where we're seeing so many new networks come aboard with smart TV sets and smart devices, and you have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and Crackle, and coming soon, you'll have Apple, maybe Walmart, Costco, Warner Media, Disney Plus, and Comcast, NBC Universal, doing services which will feature to some degree original porn. What does it say to you about the kind of TV we're getting and the kind of TV that now interests you?
I mean, I think it's, you know, people have said, like, the golden age of television right now again. I appreciate so much of the filmmaking and experimental storytelling techniques that people are using in all these different series on all those different channels that you laid out. You know, I think there's an old nostalgia for the days when we watched three networks and we could all talk about the finale of MASH at the same time. But there's also this, your TV is basically turned in many ways, I think, because you got me on the film festival. It's like, there's so many options and things to see and to pass on to people like you do at a festival, but now it's like in your office, you're like, are you watching Ozark? I'm watching Ozark. Ozark was great. And like you pass that around and you're like, you got to watch Baskets on FX. It becomes like such it's such a fun time to discover shows and find shows that really speak to you both in topic and also how they tell the story, you know? I love it. It couldn't be a better time.
How about you, Julia?
Oh, I like television. I just feel overwhelmed by it. In some ways, I wish, like when I hear all that list of all the places that you read, of all the places that are going to have their own channel, it makes me so tired that I kind of conked out there in the middle. Because it seems overwhelming. Like in some ways I liked it back when there was only three channels, just so that there was some, you know, wrangling of choice. On the other hand, a show like Work in Progress would never be on a network like that or one of those channels. So it would have to be this great flowering of all these different diverse places to, have this show probably be even a possibility. So I am really happy about it, but it is overwhelming to me personally.
Work in Progress. It is one of the growing number of indie episodic pilots that will be screened this week at the Sundance Film Festival from Park City, Utah. And it's
oh, my goodness.
Progress will be happening tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time. And we will let you know, by the way, not only how Work in Progress does as it goes the series, but also the other projects that will be showcased during this week of the festival. Happy Bethany, Tim, Mason, Sweeney, thank you all very, very much for a wonderful time at the Park City Talk. Congratulations on getting your pilot off the ground and hopefully a series to come. And we really appreciate taking
thank
the time
so
for
much.
Us to be here.
We appreciate
thank
you,
so,
you
much.
So much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Abby, Tim, and Julie. It's been a pleasure all around. Take care. Enjoy the festival.
Thank you so much.
Abby McKinney, Tim Mason, Julia Sweeney, all joining us live from the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Television. And once again, whatever happens with Work in Progress, as well as the other indie episodic pilots, we will keep you posted. More tomorrow about the televised coming up. First, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you become a subscriber and get a free one-on-one trial to Audible.com, it's not just one audiobook you get anymore, it's three. That's right. There's an audiobook from the more than 180,000 titles you can choose from, every category under the sun possible, but also two audiobooks from the growing catalog of Audible Originals, everything from One Woman, One Man shows, Broadway and off-Broadway productions, and original audio material from Audible and its parent, Amazon.com. And the great thing is, you can listen to any of these audiobooks on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. So remember, all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Get three free audiobooks, a one-month trial of service, and if you decide to make that trial a full-time subscription, every month you'll have the opportunity to get two more Audible original books and one regular audiobook. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. It's a great way to transform your listening. So why not kick it off now? Go to audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow We Televise, the program all about the tune. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 weeks in New Pacific, our final episode of January. We've had a wonderful month already, so check us out at blogtalkradio.com/televise for our past episodes of the month. Also, iHeartRadio.com, Apple TV and Speakers podcast app, and iTunes. Remember, coming up on our show Friday, we will have as our lead guest Devin Gregory. He is the creator and showrunner of American Soul, the new BET series, focusing dramatically on the creation of Soul Train and its unique creator and executive producer and host, Don Kalios. That's on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Coming up our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week, some lessons about Rent's performance last night on Fox that new and other live theater productions down the road can learn, and we hope they do. But first, live in Los Angeles, Kathy Cetula, the executive producer of the first ever Cat Ball on the Hallmark Channel. She is with us after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com and www.spreaker.com. More than 30 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, you can catch the Key of the Unplugged show tonight, 9:10 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And remember, Best BTR on Spreaker is available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Coming your way on this Monday afternoon, final one of January 2019. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad to have you aboard. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead and more, too. So give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And our chat room remains open. I believe we've got 736 now in the room. So use that room. That's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. In case you haven't heard, there is a Super Bowl happening next weekend, next Sunday night to be specific, on CBS, number 53. But also that weekend, there'll be some other interesting events. And in recent years, we have seen events like the Kitten Bowl, the Puppy Bowl. But now, this Saturday night at 10 o'clock on the Hallmark Channel, Eastern Pacific Time, it's the first ever Cat Bowl. And joining us live from Los Angeles to talk about it is its executive producer, Kathy Tatua. Kathy, welcome in.
Hi, thank you, Simon, for having me.
It is a pleasure. So how did you get involved in this first ever presentation of its kind?
Well, we are heading into our Kitten Bowl weekend. Kitten Bowl 6 is airing on Sunday, as you said. And this year, the wonderful people at Hallmark Channel had this amazing idea of why don't we focus and get the word out that there are adult cats and senior cats that should also be highlighted and are up for adoption. So that's how they came up with Cat Bowl, and we produced it. And it's going to be a really fun event. It's our first annual one. So, you know, it's going to be really fun. It airs on Saturday night, like you said, at Hallmark Channel at 10 p.m. And we have about 20, 25 adult, senior, and some special needs cats that are playing some feline football league fun.
And these cats were all up for adoption, like many of the other animals that have been featured on, as you said, the Kitten Bowl, also the Puppy Bowl from Animal Planet. We should give them some credit for what they're doing, too. But it seems that this is sort of being developed like a Pro Bowl of cats. How do you select who's on the east or on the west, or like who plays against each other?
Well, we actually have North Shore Animal League America provides us with all of our cats from all different shelters and all different places that, you know, that they've rescued cats from. And we have two teams going whisker to whisker, claw to claw, as we like to say. The Perfectly Imperfect Pumas are playing for all the special needs cats that are in shelters that need to find homes. And they're playing against the Forget-Me-Not Bobcats, who are the senior and adult cats. So it is a Pro Bowl. It is, you know, highlighting that all different types of adult cats need to find homes. So, and it's hosted by the wonderful, I call her the fairy godmother of all cats, Beth Stern. And it's going to be really fun. We have actually human coaches on the teams this year. Coaching for the Perfectly Imperfect Pumas is the one and only Superman, Dean Kane. And on the Forget-Me-Not Bobcats, we have former and a Human League quarterback, Rodney Pete. And so they'll be giving all of the plays to our kittens and our cats out there. And we're just having fun. You know, every year, like I said, North Shore Animal League provides us with our cats. Two of our team players this year, Twinkles and Sprinkles, were actually rescued from Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, and they were brought to North Shore Animal League. They rescued them, and they're playing on opposite teams, so we have litter mates playing against each other.
How did you get involved in first Kitten Bowl and Cat Bowl? Did you find out about through Hallmark Channel? Was it something you accidentally discovered while doing other projects? I know you've been involved in TV in a number of different ways over the years. How did it happen?
Well, the production company that I work for, Three Ball Entertainment, has been doing Kitten Bowl for 6 years now. And in season three, or Kitten Bowl three, I was brought on to produce. And I think every year, you know, I do other things. I do game shows and reality shows. And this one just seemed every year we go, everybody gets together to do this, and it's for a good cause because we all want to clear the shelters. So that's kind of how I got involved. I got in touch with Hallmark Channel and through my production company, and every year we give it, we make it bigger, better than ever. You know, we add different apparatus every year. We have some fun things like our parking lot, which this year is like an FFL Live experience where we have some amazing rides for our kittens and puppies. We have puppies on the show as well. So that's kind of how I got involved in it.
Tadpole 1 premieres this Saturday night, 10 p.m. East Pacific Time on the Hallmark Channel. We've got executive producer Kathy Atula joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I'm FLE live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard no matter what coast or in between you're on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. If you have a question or comment for Kathy, bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. How much planning goes into an event like this, especially when you have to deal with the fact that you can't direct Mother Nature or animals associated with Mother Nature? You know, they go when they go, as they say. You know, it's the given with natural history programming of any sort, film, tape, whatever. How do you deal with it as a producer?
Well, as a producer, we try to create different apparatus and different fun things for the kittens and the cats to play with. And, you know, it's a learning curve every year. Sometimes we have things like, you know, we have a first down fling swing on Kitten Bowl, which is just a swing, and if a cat jumps on it or a kitten jumps on it, they get an automatic first down. But you can never, ever predict which kittens are going to play, which ones are going to take a nap during the time that you're filming or the time that the game's going on. So we're always trying to get them to interact and play, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they decide, oh, the cameras are rolling, and it's time for a cat nap. So, you know, each year we spend weeks and weeks trying to come up with new things for them to do each year to keep it fresh. And, you know, sometimes we have to take a break and let the cats get a little sometimes we have what we call our one of our fouls is the litter box infractions because, you know, kittens have to go, cats have to go. So, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. So those are the kind of things that we look for each year. But I have to tell you, these kittens and the cats actually surprised us this year. Kittens normally play until they fall asleep. The adult cats this year for Cat Bowl, you know, we didn't know how they were going to react. Adult cats do what they want. And we were a little nervous that they weren't going to actually play, and they surprised us. You know, Cat Bowl and Kitten Bowl, I think cats are naturally athletic. No offense to puppies. Puppies play a lot. And we love our, you know, puppy bowl. Anything that can get any animal out of a shelter and into a living home is great. But I think cats and kittens are naturally athletic. So I think what sets us apart is we have our field goals, our field posts, you know, our uprights. And it's amazing how much the cats climb over and score field goals. And we have something on our show, if two cats jump through the uprights at the same time or if they sit on the uprights, we have our little pun that's called a two-cat conversion and they get 2 points. So I think it's just naturally, we were very surprised, though, this year. We were going in there a little nervous with Cat Bowl, wondering if they were going to play around, but they surprised us, and we have some amazing plays from some of our cats. So,
yeah, Kathy, what is the track record in terms of once the program is on, these cats or kittens get adopted?
Well, during the show this year on Cat Bowl, we actually get, after every Kitten Bowl that we've done, and again, this is going to be Kitten Bowl 6 airing this weekend, every single animal has gotten adopted, whether it's our puppy cheerleaders or our players, our cat leads. We have, through North Shore Animal League America, every single cat puppy gets adopted. So that's a good track record for us. And, you know, throughout the, you know, throughout the, you know, during Kitten Bowl when it airs, there are hundreds of Kitten Bowl parties and shelters around the country that are affiliated with North Shore. And they have cats and kittens and puppies that are up for adoption on those days. So it just multiplies. And so I think over the years, I think there's been thousands and thousands of kittens and puppies that have gotten homes based on watching our show and through the shelters that are having these Kitten Bowl parties every year. So we're pretty happy about that. And that's kind of why we all do this.
How long does it take to tape a Kitten Bowl or a cat bowl, given the fact you have to stop and start? I mean, it's not done all live in one session. So how long does it take to actually tape the action and then boil it down into an hour or two?
Well, we taped 3 days. This year we taped 2 days with our kittens, and then we taped 1 day with our cat bowl. And then basically what we do is we go back into post and create all these amazing plays and touchdowns and cute moments. So that's kind of how we do it. It's the magic of post. Oh, my God. So, you know, we have hundreds and hundreds of hours of sitting in our edit bays and creating what you guys see every year. So we're just, you know, every year we say, oh, my God, we re-watch footage and we're like, when did that happen? Let's put that in. So, yeah, it's pretty funny because we're always creating and being creative in our post to make each season better.
Mm-hmm. And also, we should point out that you have two hosts who are very familiar to people who watch the growing number of Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movie Mystery Original Movies. We're talking about Allison Sweeney and Cameron Matheson. And how have they been to work with?
Oh, they were amazing. Allison was the commentator on our Kitten Bowl last year, and so she was put together this year for our Cat Bowl with our what we call our rookie, because he's never called a feline football league event before, Cameron, and he was a natural. They're amazing together. They know each other. They've worked together before, even in some of the Hallmark movies, I believe, and they are just an amazing team. They you know, Cameron calls the plays, and Allison is our color commentator, and there's lots of puns, as usual, you know. Everything is possum. And all of our, you know, I think they were amazing this year. And then, of course, like I said, you know, for Kitten Bowl, we have Rodney, Pete, and Dean Kane, who have been friends for years. They're our commentators this year. So we have lots of amazing talent on both Cat Bowl and Kitten Bowl this year.
Here in Kathy Zula, she's the executive producer of both the first ever Cat Bowl, which is coming this Saturday night, Super Bowl weekend, 10 p.m. Pacific on the Hallmark Channel. So Kitten Bowl is also running during that weekend as well. She's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I'm going to have with you live on the other side of the U.S. of A, namely New York. 29 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's get the 40s tomorrow, and then we go plunging into the freeze again, but hopefully not too long. If a question or comment for Kathy, make the ring 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. By the way, I want to let you know that tomorrow I'll be writing my first weekly column for Media Village. That's the website written for quite a long time, headed by Jack Myers, and that will be a weekly column, and we hope through that we will be integrating Tomorrow Be Televised with the program. So check it out, and do check out their website right now, www.mediavillage.com. It's absolutely terrific. And coming up later this half hour, we will have our classic trivia question of the week, brand new question, brand new prize, and then some lessons to be learned from Fox's presentation last night of Rent. Comment about that also coming up. In case you didn't hear, Fox had less than 4 million viewers catching it. It was number 3 in the Brazen Broadcast Networks last night. And as it turned out, 25% of their audience tuned out from the start of the program to the end. So some lessons to be learned for other live theater productions, and we'll have those lessons in a little bit. Kathy, besides these two bowl games, what are the projects you're working on?
Right now I'm doing some development things and pitching some stuff out, and that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
You mentioned earlier that you are a veteran of doing game shows. What game show? I think you did Shock to Drop for me.
I did. I think I've done over, I can't tell you, probably over 600 episodes of Shop to You Drop in the past. And I've worked on Monopoly Millionaires Club, which was a show from Las Vegas, where we flew lottery winners into Las Vegas to play for $1 million. So that was fun. I'm trying to think of all the other games. Done a lot of pilots and really fun things like that. I worked on The Mole for ABC. If anyone remembers that, that was the Anderson Cooper was the host of that. So, yeah. And now I'm doing kittens and cats, and it's fabulous. Can't get cuter than that.
I wanted to ask you, Kathy, about Chop Tea Drop, because Marco Wahlberg, who was the first sidekick to Pat Finn, was on our show a couple weeks ago. He's doing Temptation Island now, reviving it for USA on Tuesday night, tomorrow night after SmackDown Live on USA. And we talked about doing that show, and I want to ask you two things. One, why do you think that show was so successful? It was on Lifetime, PAX TV, ran as the original and the new one. But we also asked Mark about the catchphrase that came out of that show, To Where, Mark, which started out as sort of a part of the show, and then sort of grew and grew as to its own catchphrase. And I'm curious your thoughts about why that happened.
Why? I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I couldn't hear you, sorry.
Yeah, I was saying why the To Wear mark, then later To Wear D, became sort of a national catchphrase out of that show.
Oh, well, you know, the basic, like, the big prize at the end was a trip somewhere. And so, you know, I think that basically it's like one of those, it's like Come On Down, like on The Price is Right. It was like To Wear D, because that was what they were looking to do. But that show was so fun to create. It was one of the toughest shows to work on. I think we did 6 a day, 18 a week, believe it or not. And so there was lots of moving parts in it. But I don't know, it became a phenomenon. And, you know, the kids at Pepperdine University, they would sit in their dorm rooms and in their common areas and watch it. We had tons of fans from, you know, older people to, like I said, college age. So it was one of those phenomenons. I just think it was, it had a little bit of everything. It had some trivia. It had fun kind of beat the clock-esque kind of like messy kind of active games. And then it was, you know, I think everybody could play along because you were pricing things. So, and a little bit of pop culture. I think that's why it was so successful.
And you had all those stunts, too. As you mentioned, those beat-the-clock type stunts where the contestants could either pass or play. And I think that added to the fun of the game.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we've had everything from people in Velcro suits trying to pick up, you know, items and throwing items at each other. We've had, I'm trying to think of what else we've done in the past. We did all kinds of craziness. And everything from, like, you know, putting license plates to celebrities with, like, personalized license plates. So I think it was just a really fun combination. Some of these stunts were messy. We've had everything from throwing eggs into baskets to people getting pies in their face. I mean, it was just a silliness, but was entertaining, and you could play along. So I think that's what every game show you want is somebody to play along at home.
With Monopoly Millionaires Club, Scott St. John, who is now back doing Deal No Deal, by the way, on CNBC, was on our show. We've had him a number of times, and that was one of the shows we covered with him. And I had a chance to see that both in the half hour and the hour version. First of all, Billy Gardell was a wonderful host. Secondly, those games were really good, and that set was amazing. And you could tell that the contestants were really hyped up for that.
Absolutely. I actually worked with Scott St. John on Monopoly Millionaires Club. So he is amazing. He is Mr. Game, brilliant. But yes, sets, you know, you do months and months of prep on game shows, as long as, you know, as working with, like, electronics and making sure that the play-along works. And so, yes, I wish they would bring back more game shows. Please, people, television networks, bring back more game shows. I think people like to see them.
Agreed. We had Vin Rubino last week, who was doing The Joker's Wild with Snoop Dogg, now back on TNT and TBS, the season 3, and also the $100,000 pyramid, which he does here in New York. going to season 4 on ABC. And it seems that there, you know, with all the channels out there, that there may be a big boon in terms of bringing game shows back. There are a lot of good game shows that can be revived, but also there are a lot of shows, I'm sure, somebody can develop that, and there are producers out there that are willing to do it.
Well, there are producers like myself that have tons of ideas that we're pitching out, and we're just hoping that, you know, people that are watching TV will say, bring back that game show because we want to see more game. You know, I think the market has been oversaturated with a lot of reality type shows. And I think people want to kind of go back to that fun era of the 70s and 80s where they could tune in and watch people win money. Other than, you know, that's what I feel. So,
yeah.
But again,
one more question before I let you go. What do you think about the fact that pilots now of game shows you can now see on YouTube? It's been very in the last couple of years. Wayne Barney has showcased pilots. Other people put pilots on. What do you think about the idea of showcasing pilots on YouTube for people to see?
Oh, I think it's great. Anytime that, you know, I think it's amazing that there are more outlets for people to watch game shows. I know that sometimes YouTube and the other things are, like, shorter in length. But I think, you know, without commercials, I think they give people what they want. And I think there's a lot of things that we can do now with game shows where people can actually play from home along with the contestants on there. So, yeah, the more outlets that we have on YouTube or, I know there's, you know, different plays like Bravo and Netflix are looking into doing game shows. So the more the merrier. I mean, the more places we can sell them and bring them back would make my life happy, very happy.
Catball number one premieres this Saturday, Super Bowl weekend on the Hallmark Channel, 10 p.m. East Pacific time. And check out those cats. And also, congratulations to North Shore Animal League for what they do with that. And also on the Kitten Bowl, which is also being presented that weekend on the Hallmark Channel. Check a little bit where that network is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details, for the program online, HallmarkChannel.com. Once again, Catball one. This Saturday, Super Bowl weekend, 10 p.m. East Pacific time. Kevin Tua, the executive producer of the show, and Kitten Bowl, thank you for joining us. Good luck with both shows over Super Bowl weekend, and let's hope that more and more families get the opportunity to get the joy of adoption by adopting these pets.
Thank you so much, because our main thing is to clear all the shelters and get every homeless cat or puppy or whatever a loving home. So thank you so much.
And those homes are out there. You're very welcome, Kathy. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
You too.
Kathy Atua from Cat Bowl and Kitten Bowl on the Hallmark Channel, joining us live from Los Angeles. Before those red comments, time for our class trivia question of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win Deborah Wolf's book, 1 Year of Reality and How It Nearly Killed Me, My Life Behind the Scenes. By the way, she also works on the role. We're going for our fourth weekly winner in a row, and here is the question. What TV series starred Michael and Sarah? Remember, he in the 1950s, he joined with John Lupton for Broken Arrow. But we're talking about the TV series that later that decade where he was a solo star. What TV series starred Michael and Sarah? If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name and your full mailing address. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win Deborah Wolf's book, 1 Year of Reality and How It Nearly Killed Me. And remember, if we don't get the question in tomorrow, by the end of the day, we'll post tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so all the very best. And now some final thoughts about the presentation of Rent last night on Fox. We told you in the news notes, it did not do very well. A lot of criticism because they ran the dress rehearsal rather than doing the show live for the most part. And I think that for other programming, Fox and others are doing live theater in the months to come, including NBC with Hair. There are three lessons to learn from what happened. Number one, you must have understudies for these shows, just like a regular Broadway show, off-Broadway show, comedy, drama, musical. You must have understudies. If they did, the show would have gone live, and maybe we would be talking at the water cooler right now about a brand new star is born out of that. Secondly, do not show dress rehearsals. Never, ever, ever do not show dress rehearsals. They are not designed to be on television, and I think Fox saw that. It is not a great, even with a live audience, because things are still in progress. Some actors decide, let's go all out. Some don't. We saw that also, and it really was disastrous for Fox, the fact that a quarter of their audience, of the audience that they did have, tuned out. And three, be sensitive about those advertising breaks. There was a lot of criticism about too many ad breaks coming at too many inopportune times, the length of the ad breaks, and the first commercial of those breaks usually being very insensitive. Somebody at Fox should have paid attention to this show, see how it was going to go, and schedule the ad breaks in a better way. So, again, the three lessons to be learned: use understudies, do not show dress rehearsal under any circumstances, and be sensitive with the advertising you put on. The ideal thing would be to maybe have one ad break for 2 or 3 minutes every half hour, and maybe get solo sponsorship of a particular musical, whether it's Hair or a production like A Few Good Minutes, I think, coming up still, or whatever. So whether it is Fox, CBS, NBC, et cetera, Netflix, whatever, doing it, remember, use understudies, don't do dress rehearsals, and be sensitive to the advertising you are presenting. And we'll see what happens from here. But no matter what, credit Fox for putting, as I said on Friday, credit Fox for putting Rent on the air. It is a very unique and a very controversial musical still, and they did it. And that's very important, and that should not be overlooked in all the criticism about what they did last night. Coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, Devin Gregory, the creator and showrunner of American Soul on BET. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast on iTunes, Apple TV and Speakers Podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com. Remember, if you want to be involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And that's how you get in touch with us on anything you like to talk about TV-wise. I do return emails in 24 hours. You also find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's at UBC Simon, TWBT. We love hearing from you because what you say matters. And again, thank you, because it's our final show of January 2019. Thank you to our guests today, but all of our guests throughout the month. We've had a sensational month, and we're looking forward to much, much more as 2019 progresses. The music for this program are those of the participants. I'll say those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and IR Radio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Annie Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Enterprise are Anna Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday and your week. We are back on Friday with Devin Gregory of American Soul on BET, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and the iHeartRadio podcast. And again, to everybody at the Sundance Film Festival Parks in Utah, the hot pilot's going on. Congratulations for getting there. Good luck. Who knows? We may be talking about you as a new television series very, very soon. Whatever you're doing this week ahead, please make it safe and make it great. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.